And I begin reading at verse number 7. So Philippians 3 and verse 7, it says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. We thank you for all that you have promised us in your word, that some promises we don't even fully understand or appreciate yet. But Lord, we just pray you would open up our eyes to what your scriptures say, and help us to apply what is given to us through your word to our hearts, Lord, that we may see your working within us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. And from the scriptures, it is clear that our Christianity should mean much more to us than simply having a ticket to go to heaven when we die. Rather, our Christianity should touch and affect all areas of our lives in one way or another. And as we've seen over the past couple of weeks, God's desire and plan for us as his children is that we would be transformed from what we once were before we knew him, to become somebody that is entirely different, to become someone who is now a reflection and a representative of Christ himself. And we understand that God wants to accomplish that change, that transformation in our lives. But yet, while we read of that idea, and we would even wish for ourselves, yeah, I would like to change from who I am, different things that I'm struggling with, I would like to have victory over them. But as we think of those things, we unfortunately sometimes, based on the experience that we've had thus far, we would think, well, that transformation for me seems too good to be true. It seems to be out of my ability to reach, in a way that it is, and we want to understand it more fully. But we recognize that there's times in our own lives where we've tried to change. We may have read a lot of different books that kind of have different step programs to help us achieve what we want to do, and they essentially seem to guarantee lasting change in our lives. But so often we go through them, and there might be a bit of progress, but so often it seems that we come up short. And in some areas of our life, we can sometimes even kind of give up in that area and figure, well, this is just an area of weakness I'm just going to have to deal with and struggle with my entire life. I'm never going to have victory, and so I just have to kind of live with it. And the thing is we know from the scriptures one day that when he comes again, we are going to be made completely like him. But that promise to us might seem a long ways off. But yet we want to realize that this transformation that God desires, it's not just when we see him that we will be like him, that there's going to be that change, and there will be a change then, but it's the idea that God wants that change to also be a present reality to us, that we would experience that. And really, as we study the scriptures, that realization comes to us. And as we focus on what we have been looking at last couple of weeks, is the idea of the basis and the foundation of our salvation. Last week we looked at one aspect of what we would call the basis of our our transformation. And that's of how it was God's purpose. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The idea of righteousness positionally, in the sense that we're justified before God, but also practically, that we would learn to have victory over sin. And as we looked at that, we came across this passage in Philippians 3 and how it speaks of Paul's desire in verse 9 there. It says that he wanted to win Christ, he wanted to be drawn closer to Him, and it's the idea that he wanted to be found in Christ, not having his own righteousness, which was of the law, but God's righteousness, that righteousness which is of God by faith, that it wasn't just him trying to do his best anymore, it was actually God living his life through him and having God's righteousness instead of his own. That's what he desired, and that's what we want to desire. But as well as we look at this passage, another phrase I want to bring to your attention that is obviously, of course, related to the first, but really broadens our understanding of what God wants to accomplish in terms of our transformation. And verse 10 says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings may be made conformable unto His death. That Paul desired, first of all, to know Christ. The idea he wanted to become intimately acquainted with Christ. He just didn't want to know facts about Christ of kind of the ideas of theology of His hypostatic union and His incarnation and other different phrases that are used. He wanted to know Him as a person. He wanted to have that closeness with Him, that he could walk with Him and be with Him and to know Him in that way. And there is great significance to that thought, and that is something that we're going to touch upon later on. But the phrase that we want to consider this morning is the next phrase of that verse, where he says that I may know not only Christ himself, but also that I may know the power of his resurrection. And so we think of the phrase, the power of his resurrection. What does that mean? What is he talking about? And what is the power of Christ's resurrection? And now if I was going to ask you this morning, well, what is the power of Christ's death? What did Christ's death accomplish for us? I think for all of you that you'd be able to give an answer fairly easily to that. That we think, well, yes, He died to pay the penalty for our sins. He died so that we could be redeemed and forgiven. And we touched upon some of that in Sunday school this morning, that some of these different concepts of the remission of our sin, being a propitiation for our sin, being providing atonement, all these different things are part of what Christ has done, what He accomplished through His death, through the shedding of His blood. all of that is encompassed in Christ's finished work on the cross. And all of those concepts we would look at, that would speak to the power of His death, of what He accomplished by dying in our place. But what is the power and the significance of His resurrection? And well, we could say, well, Christ's resurrection, it proved Him to be the Son of God. And that is certainly true. We read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4 of how it says, Romans 1 verse 4 of Christ, it says He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That all through His ministry He declared Himself to be the Son of God. He made Himself equal with God, and the Pharisees and others wanted to stone Him for having done so. That they said, you're speaking blasphemy, you're a man, you're making yourself God. And we know that the complete opposite was true, that He was God who made Himself a man. And so they put Him to death, and really if He was not who He said He was, then He would not have been able to rise again. But the fact is that He did exactly what he said. He promised that he would rise again 3 days, and he did that. And it showed him to be who he was, that he was the Son of God himself that was come, and that what he had promised he was able to perform. Excuse me. And so we think of it in that term as well. We think, as we read in the passage in 1 Corinthians 15, of how it talks of the idea of how by Christ's resurrection that we have that blessed hope of a future bodily resurrection when Christ returns, and just that thought of how important his resurrection is, and just that hope that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, that we as mortals will put on immortality, we that have corruptible bodies will put on incorruption. And when that happens, that it will truly fully come to pass, that saying, death is swallowed up in victory. That we rejoice for that, and we know that it's because of his resurrection that we have that hope. But in terms of our present situation, we want to ask ourselves, how does the truth of the resurrection apply to us right now? How does it change our lives that Christ is resurrected? Is there something that we're overlooking or not realizing? Is there a power to the resurrection that we are missing, that we as Paul need to seek, that we want to discover for ourselves, this power of his resurrection, this power by which we can be transformed? And from the scriptures we would say that that is absolutely true. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. And again, we recognize we began this whole series of going from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and we recognize that what was said there of presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, not being conformed to the world, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that begins kind of the practical section of Romans, and it's based upon the doctrinal foundation that's given in the rest of Romans. Excuse me. And so we want to look a bit more at a few other things that are said in Romans that speak to this idea. And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, that's a verse that we're all quite familiar with, and we rejoice in its truth, where it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us." That it was a thing that even though we were enemies to him, even though we were without strength, even though we had no deserving thing within us that would make us worthy of his love, the fact is that he loved us. That Jesus himself said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." But we see that is the greatest love a man can have, but God's love is even beyond that. That he didn't just lay down his life for his friends, he laid it down for his enemies. And so we're so thankful for that, of what he has done. But yet, in verse 9 and 10, we find further truths in which we can also rejoice as well. That it says that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. But in verse 9, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And so it's the thought that through Christ's death, we were reconciled to God. That is that whole idea of the atonement, that we are made at one with God, that sin that separates us from God is taken out of the way, and so we can be reconciled. And we examined 2 Corinthians chapter 5 last week. We touched upon that idea of how he reconciled us to God through Christ, and that as believers that we now have the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation given to us, that we're to give to others and tell them to be reconciled unto God, that he's taken care of our sin through Christ so that we can be forgiven. And so we understand about that. We see here, and in both verses 9 and verse 10, there's a phrase there. It says, "much more," that there is what has been accomplished by his death, but then there is much more that has been accomplished as well by his life, by his resurrection. That Christ's death has great power in our lives when we've trusted in Him, but as well, in the same way, His resurrection can have power in His life. And that's what it says there, verse 10. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. That the power of His resurrection brings deliverance to us. And we see that phrase much more repeated further on in this same passage. verse 15, where it says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." That we think of how sin came into this world and death by sin, but much more through the grace of God, this gift of grace by Jesus Christ has come into this world. Verse 17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." And further on, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." And so it is the thought that because of Christ's resurrection, because of His life, we have been given life as well. Jesus Himself spoke of this in John 14, verse 19. He says, "Because I live, ye shall live also." And now, we might say, of course, well, that makes sense that we now have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we recognize that is part of His gift of salvation. We never want to diminish that thought. But of course, the problem is that we tend to think of the eternal life that God has given us as something that we have to wait until we die to enjoy, that it's there waiting for us to have. But its understanding is that when we're saved, that we enjoy eternal life right now. John chapter 5 and verse 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me, him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." It isn't something we're going to get one day. It is something that we possess now. And that we want to recognize that we have passed from death unto life, that things have changed. And just as we recognized last week, we tend to look at our salvation in terms of just the forgiveness of our past wrongs and kind of the hope that we have for the future. But for some reason, we miss that God's salvation has something to do with our lives in the present. That it is through His death and His resurrection that we can be enabled to have victory and deliverance from sin in the present time. And so thus we see, as Paul continues his thought from Romans chapter 5 to Romans chapter 6, he says these words, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. There is a thought that through faith in Christ, we are united with Christ, that His death becomes our death, a death to sin, a death to self. But as well, Christ's life becomes our life also, that through faith in Him, we have been raised to walk in newness of life. And that's even kind of the picture of our baptism, of the idea of how we were buried with Him and now we are raised again, that we have a new purpose in life. That we as believers need to understand that. We need to desire to live in that way, because that's what He's died and was risen again to provide for us. And as it says in verse 11, we need to reckon ourselves, as it says there, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That sin does not need to have dominion over us. That we're dead to it. By God's grace, we're freed from it. And now we are alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That we have new life. That it's the thought that sin has had such great power in our lives for many years, but because of Christ's death and resurrection, it doesn't need to have power over us anymore. That it has reigned over us and has been a very terrible reign over us. But now we don't need to be under its rule anymore. That we can be free. And that it's a thought that we can now, instead of yielding ourselves unto sin, we can yield ourselves unto righteousness. We can allow God to reign in our lives and things to be different. That we live as those that are alive from the dead, and that we yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That these hands that were used to do wicked things and a tongue that was used to say evil things can now be used for the glory of God, for showing kindness and compassion to others and sharing God's truth so that others can come to the knowledge and to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is that thought that we have of this idea of, because of His resurrection, of us being alive from the dead. As Ephesians 2 speaks of, that before we came to the Lord in faith, we were dead in trespasses and sins. That our sin brought us into condemnation to God. Our sin brought us sorrow and destruction. We were separated from God and awaiting His wrath. But yet, because of His grace, that God has quickened us. He has made us alive. That we are now new creatures in Christ. That we're now created in Christ Jesus. It says in Ephesians 2 verse 10, we're created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That person that we were before, and a lot of times this person that we figure, well, that's who I am, and I'm always going to struggle with those things. That He's saying, no, I've created you new, that now you can be a different person. You can have victory over that. That you can start being used to be a blessing and a help to others, where before you only brought harm and sadness to other people. And so, realizing that of what God has accomplished, that we want to realize in the sense that even though there is that promise of a future physical resurrection that we long for, that is our blessed hope, just that thought of us being free from kind of sickness and disease and all those other things that come as being part of this corruptible body. We hope for that future physical resurrection, and we look for the fulfillment of that promise one day. But we want to recognize that in a way, that future physical resurrection is actually going to be the culmination of God's work in us. That it's actually going to be showing on the outside what has already happened on the inside. That we are going to be physically resurrected then. But we understand that the moment that we trust in Christ, we are spiritually resurrected. And that changes everything. And the epistle to the Colossians speaks to this as well. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. It says that we are buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. That is the idea that we are in Christ when we trust in him, and that just as he was raised from the dead, so we are raised from the dead. And so it's a thought that we as believers, if we have trust in him, that we are risen with Christ right now. That yes, we will be risen with him physically one day, but spiritually speaking, we are risen with Christ right now. And we see that in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, that he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." That it's the idea that if we are risen with Christ, and if we have trust in Christ, that has occurred. That everything in our life is now changed. That the affections that we had, the things that we seek after, they're not the things of this world anymore. But instead, because we are risen, we seek those things that are above. And so our old way of living is over. Christ is now our life in every sense of that word. It talks about that further on. It says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." That he is our life now. That he is our focus. That he is the one we want to live for. He is the one who imparts to us life. And so we want to live in that sense. And it's through him we want to learn, as it talks about further down in that same chapter, this idea that we're to mortify our members upon the earth. These sins and these things that we've practiced, these works of the flesh, we want to end those. We want to gain complete victory over them. And we want to learn to essentially put off the old man, put on the new man. This new creature in Christ that we've been made, this one that is guided instead of by hatred and strife and lust and greed and pride and other things, that instead is guided by, as speaks of kindness and humility and compassion and forgiveness. But that's, we recognize, is all part of the package of what Christ did for us through his death and his resurrection. And it's, we want to realize that he came, he said in John chapter 10, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." He wants us to experience an abundant life, not just in heaven with him, but right now, that we can find his life, we can find a fullness to our lives beyond what we would ever think possible. And so it is that thought that we want to consider, that his resurrection can have great power in our life. And just as Paul did, we want to pursue after that discovery of the power of his resurrection, that we would experience that. That we haven't attained, it's a process that we're working towards, that we know that one day we're going to be like Christ, but we want it to be a transformation. We want it to be a change in a life, that we see that process occurring. We can tell that we're making progress in our Christian life, within our Christian walk. That God wants us to be transformed. And from the scriptures we understand that through Christ, he has given us the power to be transformed. And so as we ponder these things, may the Lord help us all, that we would recognize that Christ, in his death and in his resurrection, he has secured for us so many different things. It speaks of in 2 Peter of how he hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that we have what we need, that he has provided that for us. That may those truths be transformational truths to us as we realize what God has done. And may the Lord help us as we would seek to practically, as Paul did, discover the power of his resurrection in our daily lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for its many promises, Lord, that sometimes seem beyond our scope to even imagine, but we realize that your word is truth, And as we rest upon it, Lord, that we can see great things occur in our lives because of what you have done and can do for us. And we just pray, Lord, you would help us, that we truly would be transformed. Help us to know the power of your resurrection, that we might be fundamentally changed, that we would be able to live as you say that we are, that we are dead unto sin and alive unto God, and that we can now be used of you as instruments of righteousness. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We pray you'd bless us and just guide us this day and in the week to come, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one last hymn before we get to the message, or one last hymn before we conclude this day, number 466, Christ liveth in me.